Okay, very good. Let's go to Romans 5. Tonight, Romans 5. Glenda's got our song. She's going to come sing, and then we'll be in Romans chapter 5. So find that place in your New Testament or Bible. We'll be there shortly.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just been through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good. This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. But there is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear Him gently whispering, I'm here, and all is well. Even if
song. Thank you, Glenda. That's good tonight and helpful. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we are grateful tonight that You are God of the valley as well as God of the mountains. And Lord, thank You for the good song and the truth of it. Help me tonight to be a blessing to Your people, to take the time to drive here, the expense, the effort that some came a long distance, Lord, tonight to be here. And those that just came a short trip, doesn't matter. I just pray that our time spent in Your Word will be beneficial, that You'll help us tonight, Lord, for the purpose of making us better and changing us, hopefully to some degree. So be with us, and may everybody be impacted somehow, some way tonight. And I thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, when you get to Romans chapter 5, we've already come through some great teaching and exposition. In Romans chapter 3, we learn about the fact that salvation is free. And the eternal life is free. In Romans chapter 4, we learn that salvation is by faith and faith alone. And some great verses there in that chapter. And then in Romans chapter 5, we learn that salvation is forever. And I won't be discussing that tonight, but I'm glad that our salvation is free by faith and forever. That's a great salvation right there. Now, in the first two verses of chapter 5, we read so many words that are a blessing to us. Look at it. Therefore, being justified, that's a great word. By faith, that's another great word. We have peace, okay? So in verse 1, you've got justified, faith and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. There's a great word. That word access is a great word. And the word hope, and we grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory. There's another great word, glory of God. So in those two verses, we've got justified, we've got faith, we have peace, we have access, we have grace, we have hope, and we have glory. Now, look with me at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by faith is something that we need to stop and just be reminded of and think on every now and again. justified, just as if I'd never sinned. What a standing, folks. Unbelievable. And this justification is by faith and faith alone. Imagine that kind of standing, being free. Absolutely free. Not costing us anything. Matt told me last night that that Tom, his friend, would not have a problem with knowing that he was a sinner. He would not have a problem with believing in a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. He said if he has any problem, it's in the fact that it's not by works, because he was raised a Catholic and he was taught that salvation is by works. And we were able to deal with that and get beyond that. And he's realized that, that's what he had been taught all his life, but what the Bible taught was something different. And it was wonderful to tell him that salvation is free. It's absolutely free. Now, it's free to you and me, cost us nothing. But it cost Jesus everything. Amen. A very steep price. I remind you about the song, Saved by the Blood, has those words in there. Great price of our pardon, His own precious Son. So it cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything to give us free salvation. So justification by faith, that's standing in the Lord Jesus, just as if I'd never sinned. That position by faith, free to you and me. And then, because of that justification, we now have peace with God. That's different than peace of God. That's peace with God. That's the peace that an unsaved person doesn't have. They get that war in the soul. Some of you that were saved later in life, you understand that maybe a little bit better than somebody that was saved as a young person. Maybe as a young person, you know, the reality of that war, it's there, it's present, but maybe it's just not as real as it is when you get older. And the war in your heart. And you start running around the world trying to find anything and everything to settle that war down. And there's nothing that will settle that war down and give you peace but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation, justification. So because of justification, we now have peace with God. And understand, friend, that peace with God is only possible if we are without sin. You say, well, my goodness, then who can have peace with God? If we have to be without sin, it's the righteousness of Christ. That is our standing. We are in Jesus Christ, enrobed in His righteousness. That is our position in Jesus Christ, and that never changes. Now, our condition changes. Our day-to-day walk with God, our day-to-day fellowship with God changes, can be influenced by a lot of things. But friend, our position, our standing in Christ Jesus is done, it's settled, it's cemented, it's sure, it's steadfast. When you are in Christ, you're enrobed in His righteousness, and that's the only way peace with God is possible. The only way peace with God is possible is if you and I are justified without sin. The righteousness of Christ brings us into peace with God. I told a story here, and I can't remember if I told it on Wednesday night or if I told it in chapel or if I told it somewhere else. I might have told it here on Wednesday night. Might have told it 2 weeks ago. I don't know, you know. No, it couldn't have been 2 weeks ago. I was somewhere else. But it might have been 3 weeks ago. Early Alzheimer's is setting in. Amen. Like, all right. So, Harry Ironside was out in Washington State. Now, if you remember this or not, he was on a sheep ranch. He stayed with some sheep ranchers. He was preaching out there. He was a medical doctor, Harry Ironside was. A great preacher. And you can get some of his books. In fact, you guys like to study and read good commentaries, good study books. Find some books by H.A. Ironside. They're good books, healthy books, good books. And so he's standing out there, standing with these ranchers, and he's looking out there. I mean, just dozens and dozens. I'm trying to be conservative. I think the story might have said hundreds of sheep, but I'll be conservative. Dozens and dozens of sheep, ewes, and lambs. This is lambing time right now up the road from us at the farmers there at John's place. They're having lambs this week. And it was lambing time out there. And here was this lamb that was the most crazy looking thing you'd ever seen in your life. And he looked at it and he tried to figure out what in the world that was. And it was actually a little bit grotesque looking. But, and he said to the rancher, he said, "What is that? What is wrong with that lamb?" And the rancher told him that amazing story, how that there was a ewe that had given birth to a lamb stillborn. So the lamb was dead. There, at the same time, in the same time period, there was a ewe that gave birth to the lamb. The lamb lived, but the ewe died. So you've got a living ewe, a living mother over here with a dead lamb, and you've got a dead ewe, a dead mother over here with a living lamb. And so they said, well, look, let's just put that lamb, that lamb is an orphan lamb, put him in the pen with that lamb. She just had a kid, just I don't know, just had a lamb. Let her nurse him and feed him. But he'd try to get up there to nurse, and she'd sniff and shy him away and push him away. And finally, they got the idea. They got that dead lamb, that ewe lamb's dead lamb, and they skinned it. And they took that dead lamb's skin and they put it over that live lamb, living lamb, and secured it over him and then put him in the pen. And she sniffed and started giving milk to that little guy. And that guy lived. She accepted him in the clothing of her dead lamb. And friend, you and I are accepted in the beloved. We are taken in by God. We are with him today because we are standing in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like that little lamb was taken in by that. What a great picture of salvation. Amen. And adoption. And so because of our standing in Christ, we have peace with God. Now, that's verse 1. And I'm going somewhere with all this. Now, look at verse number 2. So we're talking about great things here. We're talking about justification and the peace that justification provides. And then you got to verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So Paul says, hey, not only do we have justification by faith and the peace with God that is the result of it, he says we access a standing before God that includes glorification as well. And he says one day we will be with God in a glorified body in heaven forever, and we'll be a first-hand eyewitness of the glory of God. And he calls that the hope of his, the hope of the glory of God. And the word hope in the Bible is not used like you and I use it. We hope this is the last snowstorm of this season, right? Now, we have no idea whether it will be or not, but we hope it will be. But you know, that means maybe it will be, maybe it won't. But the word hope in the Bible is a concrete, steadfast, assured thing, friend. Just as our salvation forever, steadfast, concrete, our glorification is just as sure. It's just as steadfast. It's going to happen the moment we see Jesus Christ. The moment we see Him by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, the moment we see Him, we're going to be glorified. It'll be for you and me like it was for Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? Jesus took him up there, and here came, all of a sudden, he was transfigured. Man, his body took on, the Bible says, just shining, brilliant as the sun, and white as light. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Peter and James and John, just let your mind run for a minute, having to shield their eyes and look through their fingers at the glistening person of the Lord Jesus. And here comes Moses and here comes Elijah, and they're there with him. And Peter's so overwhelmed and he's caught up in the moment. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Man, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah and James and John and I. We'll just take turns going from one tabernacle to the other. We'll fellowship with Moses for a while, fellowship with you for a while, fellowship with Elijah for a while. We'll just go back and keep rotating through the tabernacles. This is wonderful. And they saw the resurrected, they saw the glorified Jesus Christ transfigured, if you will. And that's how it's going to be for you and me someday, friend. We're going to see the glorified Lord, the glorified Jesus, and that glorification so powerful, it's going to change us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what Paul's talking about here. So he's talking about, man, that we have that justification by faith, and because we have justification, we have peace with God, and now we're going to have glorification, and this is the hope that is before us. And all of this in verse 2 is because of grace, the free and unmerited favor of God, the divine influence upon the heart. We have justification, and because of that peace, and we have glorification, and because of that we have this wonderful hope. We know, and we know, and we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. It's not a maybe thing. It's not a might be. It is a knowledge. We know that when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. All right? So he says all of that in verses 1 and 2. Now verse number 3. Then he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Whoa, 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 time out. Now wait a minute. What? I mean, what are we doing? What happened to the justification and the peace and the glorification and the hope and all the grace and the access and the standing in Jesus Christ? Man, we can shout with Paul on that. That's what he said. We glory in that. And then he said, no, by the way, not only so, we glory in tribulations too. Oh my goodness. That kind of takes the shout out of everybody, doesn't it, huh? Kind of sets everybody back a little bit. And not only so, it's like Paul says, you know, we glory in justification and the peace that comes because of it. And we glory in glorification and the hope that we have because of it. All these wonderful and positive blessings and joys that accompany salvation by grace. And not only that, what's next, Paul, what's next? We glory in tribulations also. Oh my goodness. What are you saying, Paul? You know what he's saying? He's saying we're not only awed by the wealth that God has given us, we are awed by the work that God is doing in us. Because you see, folks, verse number 1 is justification. Verse number 2 is glorification. Verse 3 and 4 is that word sanctification that comes between justification and glorification. And what God, the work that God is doing in us in the process of sanctification that sometimes hurts us, and sometimes brings us tears, and sometimes brings us toil, and sometimes puts us in a test, a trial, squeezes us like a vice. Paul said, you know what? We glory in that too. And not only so. And not only so, we shout about justification. And not only so, we shout about glorification. And not only so, we're happy. We're not necessarily happy, giddy, smiley, laughy, ha-ha. But we understand that the work God is doing on us, we understand it's just as important to accept the trials, to accept the tests, to accept the tears, to accept the toils that God brings into our lives as it is to glory in the blessings that He has given us. The blessings of sin forgiven. The blessings of just as if I'd never sinned. The blessings of being enrobed in the righteousness of Christ. The blessings of someday being just like Jesus. And not only so, the blessings that God takes us through in this process of sanctification, we accept those and we learn to rejoice in those as well. Well, it's heavy stuff, isn't it? Now, it's not as easy. It's not near as easy. But it's just as important. Just as important, Paul says, and not only so. In verse 2, look at what he said again in verse number 2. At the end of the verse, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That concrete hope, folks, again, hope not in the sense of maybe. Hope in the sense of, oh yes, we know. This is going to happen, okay? That's what it talks about that. And we're excited about the hope of our glorification. Now look at verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. It begins with tribulation. But look at the end of the process. It goes on to say, also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that's where it ends. It ends with hope. The same hope that is found in verse number 2. Hey, people, look. It is the trials. It is the tests. It is the tears. It's the toils that God uses to make us now more like what we will be then. And we are not near as quick to rejoice in the tribulations as we are the blessings. But people, without the tribulations, we're going to miss out on some of the work that God wants to do in us. What's God doing in you? Right now. What's God doing in you? For some people, He's dragging you through a knot hole. Some here in this room, some situations that I am privy and I know about, the situations I have no idea. But God is dragging you through a knot hole. Okay? It's tears, it's toil, it's trials, it's testing. But somehow, because of the same grace that's available that worked on our hearts for justification, the same grace that will work on our bodies someday when it comes to glorification, that same grace can help us right now with the toils, the tribulations, the tests that are making us more like what we're going to be and less like what we were. And this process is important. And this process is not always a matter of ease. This process is tough. You know why it's tough? Because we got an old, strong Adamic nature. That's why it's tough. God has to drag us through the knothole. What's God doing in some of your lives, man? They're taking you through the, taking you, putting you in the vice and just squeezing you. And you know, it's easy to shout about justification and it's easy to shout about glorification. But saying, I'm not saying we have to shout about sanctification, but we do need to accept it. Need to find a way to rejoice in it. To accept it. We need to accept sanctification's process, the trials, the tests, the tears, the toils. We need to accept them as important, maybe not enjoyable, but important because they're part of this great process of sanctification. And I'm really not even going to preach on or teach on the process tonight. And again, folks, remember on Wednesday nights, I have no set series right now. That may change in a while. But right now, I'm just kind of dealing with things that God speaks to my heart about in my devotions. That's what I've been giving you on Wednesday night. Boy, I'm telling you, this passage, I love this passage. I love what it says. And I'm not going to look at the process tonight of tribulations and how it works patience and how patience works experience and experience works hope. I'm not really interested in dealing with that tonight as much as I am the attitude. Because the very first statement, verse number 3, and not only so, Paul said, I rejoice in my justification. And I rejoice in the hope of my glorification. And not only that, I'm going to rejoice in the process of sanctification. And even though it drags me through the knothole, I got this, Paul had this attitude about the process, this attitude of, and not only so. We sure enjoy getting the paycheck, and not only so, we need to accept the work that makes the paycheck possible. We sure enjoy eating the fresh cooked green beans from the garden, and not only so, we need to accept the toil that makes the beans possible. We sure enjoy the bright colors of the flower garden, and not only so, we need to accept the process of weeding that makes the colors possible. We sure enjoy the taste of the homemade cathead biscuit, and not only so, we need to accept the process of the recipe that makes the taste possible. We sure enjoy the solid score on the ACT test, and not only so, we need to accept the study that makes the score possible. We sure enjoy justification and the peace that comes with it, and glorification and the hope of it. And not only so, we need to accept the tribulation that accompanies sanctification on the way to glorification. We have to possess the same attitude about the work that God wants to do in us as we have about the wealth that God has given us. And tonight, folks, simply what I'm doing tonight is just simply reminding us that trials and tests and tears and toils are a part of the process of life as a child of God. And eventually, everybody that God is working on is going to go through. And if God never drags you through the knothole, never works on you, I'd be concerned. Because God works on His kids. God works on His kids. Just like we work on our children. He works on His kids. And this process, you know, is justification, amen, glorification, amen, sanctification. No, we can't do that. And not only so, amen, amen, and not only so, amen. You with me tonight? Job chapter 2 and verse 10, he said this. Remember his story? I don't have to rehearse the story of Job for you. What? he says to his wife, who says, curse God and die. I've come to the conclusion that she's not a wicked woman. What she's saying is she loves him so much, she's tired of seeing him suffer, and she knows that if he curses God, God will kill him. Put him out of his misery. Curse God and die. Be done with it. And he says, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Let me quote that verse again. What? Shall we not receive good? Justification, peace, hope, glorification. At the hand of God, and not only so, shall we not receive evil, trials, tests, tears, and toils? We want this and we want this, but we don't want this. This makes us smile. This makes us happy. This makes us shout. This makes us smile. This makes us happy. This makes us shout. We may not shout here. We may not run around and be giddy joyful like here or here. But we at least have to say, you know what? I'm going to learn to rejoice and glory in this as well. God's dragging me through the knothole. The truth of the matter is, the trials, the tests, the tears, the toils. Now listen. Job endured made him presently more like he was going to be in the future and less like he was in the past. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. I kind of like the thought of becoming more like I'm going to be and less like I used to be. But folks, you know what? God has to drag me through the knothole to get me there. Does he have to do that to you? Take you to the woodshed once in a while? And sometimes it's not even a matter of punishment or discipline. Sometimes it's just a matter of test and trials to purify us so that we come forth as not brass, not silver, gold. And I don't care what they say about the prices of this and that. If I had three coins up here, a brass coin, a silver coin, and a gold coin, 99.9% of the people in this room, if I gave you the opportunity, would choose that gold coin over the other two. You know you would. And that's what God's making. He's not making brass. He's not making nickel. He's not making copper or silver. He's making gold. And in the process of making gold, there's trials and there's tears and there's toils and there's tests. And somehow we have to come like the Apostle Paul. And by the way, he does not speak as a novice about trials and tests. Right? I mean, if anybody else in the Bible was saying this, you know, you and I might say, well, yeah, but Paul? I won't even go over to 2 Corinthians 11. Read it sometime for yourself. Good night. I mean, the guy was just, it was one heartache after the other. One tear after the other. One test after the other. And yet Paul found a way to say in Romans 5, I glory in my justification. I glory in the peace that it brings and the glorification and the hope that it gives me every day. But I've also learned that this process right here, it may not be as enjoyable as those two, but I'm okay with this. Are you okay with it? Are you okay with it? Are you okay with whatever God has to do in my life? Am I okay with it? Are you okay with it? You know, this is very, very... By the way, folks, you know why it is important that we have the and not only so attitude? The end of Job chapter 2 and verse 10 says this. After Job says what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? He said, the Bible says this. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So that means when God drug Job through that knothole and all that he went through, he never once said, at least at the beginning, God does not care about me. God does not love me. God has forgotten me. He didn't charge God foolishly. Those are... Now look, I know we're given to say that sometimes, but actually, folks, you understand those are very foolish charges. Does that make sense to y'all? Now, our humanity gets the best of us sometimes. We fling that out before we think. But those are really foolish charges. In all this, Job did not Job sin with his lips. So that's why this attitude, and not only so, it's important because it keeps me from sinning. It keeps me from charging God foolishly. Not only does it keep me from sinning with my lips, and I like this, that attitude, and not only so, and when I say and not only so, are you with me with that phrase? Are you with me with that phrase? Okay. That there's justification, there's glorification, amen, hallelujah, and not only so, amen for this. And not only so. You with me there? Okay. That attitude eventually helps me realize that God does love me. Because look what verse number 5 says. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is a shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When you and I learn to accept the process of trials and tests and tears and toils, and folks, it could be in your marriage relationship, it could be with a child, it could be with your health, it could be with any number of things. It could be with your job. I mean, how many things cause us tears and toil? And how many things can be labeled a trial or a test? Huh? And when we learn to accept that process, it eventually results in us understanding the depth of love that God has for me. Now, explain it this way. He that spareth the rod, what? Hateth his child. But if I love my son, what am I going to do? I'm going to discipline him. I'm going to correct him. I'm going to instruct him. See, question. When do you really grasp and understand fully the love your parents have for you? When do you get that? When do you get it? When you have your own kids. And not until then. That's when you fully get it. The guy stands up at the wedding, the pastor stands up at the wedding on Saturday night and talks about Nathan and Rachel's relationship with their parents, which both of them have a very close and healthy relationship with their parents. And he said, you know, you've made your folks happy and glad today, and I'm pleased. I know the Lord is pleased. And someday, and you won't fully understand what they feel in their hearts today until you have one of your own little ones stand up and get married like this somewhere. And he was right. It is not, we do not, wait. This age, whatever, we do not understand when they are punishing us and correcting us with the rod and sitting on us and being firm with us and disciplining us. Come on, we don't. I understand it's because you love me so much. That's what they tell us. Because I love you, son. Boy, I wish you hated me, Dad. Huh? You know. We don't get it then. But watch me. If you accept it and take it and learn from it and don't reject it and don't rebel and you let Dad and Mom mold you and shape you and drag you through the knot hole, sit on you, discipline you, you let them do that, then you get married, then you have your own children. Now I understand it. The love, your heart, the love that your parents had for you is shed abroad in your heart. Full understanding of what Dad and Mom meant. Full understanding. Here it is. And not only so, I'm going to accept the tribulation. I'm going to accept the testing. I'm going to accept the trials. I'm going to accept the tears. I'm going to accept the toils. And you know what the end result is? One of these days, the Holy Ghost is going to shed abroad the love of God in our heart. We'll fully understand just how much God loved us when He was dragging us through the knot hole. Does that make sense? But when I resist, I'm not going to come to that realization. It's only when I submit to it. That's what Paul is saying here. Not only so, you know, we enjoy the gifts and the blessings that parents make possible for us. And not only so, we accept the discipline and punishment as good for us. Then when we are older, we fully understand the love our parents have for us. It's shed abroad, fully recognized in our hearts. And it is that same way with God. Are you being drugged through the knot hole tonight? Yesterday, tomorrow, this time in your life, are you being drugged through a knot hole? Is God working on you? Yes, and I wish He'd stop. No. 10,000 times no. Don't take your hand off of me. It's exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians when he said, God told me that I needed the thorn in my flesh. I said, God, leave it. I need it. So no. I'm not saying click your heels. Yeah, I've got cancer. That's ridiculous. That wouldn't be a testimony. That'd be idiocy. But you don't fight it. You don't get ugly. You don't get an attitude of, well, I'll tell you, God did this to me. I'm not going to go back to that. Which is what you hear when you knock on doors around here. I'll tell you, man, I was going to church and I was doing this and this happened. This happened. I thought God's going to treat me that way. God dragging through the knot hole. Find a way to accept it. Find a way to glory in it. Okay, you may not shout like you do for, man, justified, glory. Glorified, man, amen. Knot hole. Okay. Okay. I'm good. All right? I rejoice in this too. Part of the process. God's working on me. God's working on me. You know, we sing that beautiful song. We call it the Baptist National Anthem, Amazing Grace. Verse number one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What's that sound like to you? Somebody said it. Justification. Verse 4. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first began. What does that sound like to you? Oh. But one of those middle verses says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. Justification, peace with God. Amen. Glorification, the solid, sure hope. I'm going to see God be like Jesus. You! And not only so. While I'm shouting about that and shouting about that, I'll find a way to be okay with this. What a blessing. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help your people, I pray. Lord, some folks being drugged through a knot hole right now in different ways, shapes and forms, and others, Lord, I may not even have any knowledge of it, but you do. You put this on my heart for some reason today. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for justification. We thank you tonight for glorification. And we thank you, God, tonight for the process of sanctification. And Lord, help us to deal with it and accept it and rejoice in it. It is a process, people. Justification's instantaneous. Glorification is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process of tribulation. It works experience and grows us up a little bit, and experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, and become to a full understanding of just how much God loves us, because He not only justified us, not only will glorify us, but He's working on us right now to sanctify us. What a great God. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies. We'll pray in His service. Just a verse.